Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Welcome back. Now, have you watched a film or a TV programme at home only to be frustrated that you cannot quite hear what the actors are saying? Muffled voices, loud explosions and dialogue drowned out by background noise is increasingly forcing viewers to use subtitles when they wouldn't ordinarily need them. The acoustics of the room you're in, the device you're using is also an important factor. And RTE business journalist Adam Maguire has been finding out more, and he's going to tell us now that it's not our fault that we've had to turn on the subtitles, and it is in fact the streaming services are to blame. We shouldn't panic.
No, not necessarily. There is this growing issue of people suffering from hearing damage because they have their headphones too loud, and of course our hearing does degrade as we get older as well. But the experience of not being able to hear what people are saying on TV is separate to that, and a lot of people have that experience. Data released by Netflix last year revealed 40% of its users regularly use subtitles on their programming. 80% use them at least once a month, so most users. A survey by YouGov in the UK last year also found nearly 30% of adults prefer to have subtitles on when watching content in their native language. So some of them will be doing that because they did have hearing issues, but many simply are struggling to hear what's on the TV, and it's easier just to read it rather than strain and rewind and try and catch up.
So there's definitely a pattern there now in the data. Why is that? What has changed about our films and TVs that's leaving it harder to hear?
Well, there's actually a number of reasons, and it goes all the way from our living rooms all the way back to the set that a film or a TV show was made on. So that's maybe the best place to start, you know, the origin really, where something is being made, because the way a film or a TV show is made now has changed a lot in a relatively short period of time, and it's a million miles away from the early days of the silver screen. So if you think back, if you imagine what, you know, a black and white film or early colour, you picture the set, big huge sets, big cameras, you know, very elaborate
production. Like production houses, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. More structured. Yeah. They were essentially like elaborate stage productions, and they were, you know, on specifically constructed sets, very carefully lit, big heavy cameras, big bulky microphones.
And big microphones.
Yeah, and they had to be put in a certain place, you know, in order to not be seen on screen as well. And so the actors had to work with that. They had to do the same thing as stage actors, project their voice, speak very clearly, you know, ensure they were speaking in the right direction, so they were pointing at the microphone and being heard. And they tended to have very broad accents, you know, received pronunciation and things like that. So nowadays, though, everything is much more naturalistic, you know, thanks in part to technological advancements. So cameras are smaller, mics are smaller, lighter, more portable. So
you're just out in nature in the natural environment.
Yes, exactly.
And all that comes with that.
They don't tend to have those big sets anymore. They tend to do it out in the real world. And actors aren't projecting towards a big mic either. They have small wireless lapel mics hidden on their clothes. So they're now able to, you know, deliver their dialogue with more range and more nuance in a more normal way. So they whisper, they mumble, they say things quickly as well.
And they're using their own accents.
Yeah, which,
I think that's probably changed.
Which is a big thing. I saw some people online giving out about Barry Keoghan, for example, and his accent. We probably can understand it a lot better than American can because he's using his own accent. And that's a good thing, that we're hearing a much greater range of voices.
Yeah, whereas once upon a time,
received pronunciation, very, very broad, as I say. But it does mean that if you're not familiar with that accent and you mix in the mumbling and, you know, speaking quickly and all that, it makes it that bit harder to hear as well.
Okay, so there is a fix. What can we do?
Well, I mean, what they can do is, you know, you can have an actor who can deliver a line in a subtle way, but clearly, you know, some are better at doing that. You can also have post-production as well, where it can be edited. Limitations to that, though.
But there are some producers who prefer not to fine-tune it. And you know, there's one of these, I think it's Christopher Nolan, who's critiqued and criticised over time for his hard to hear movies. And we're going to take a listen to one. Maybe Tenet is the best example of this, of a lot of actors speaking while wearing oxygen masks. Let's take a listen.
The structure of the vault is based on the Pentagon. Each vault is a separate structure within the others. That is, to one structure won't compromise the other.
What are we going to do?
And I think I think that was all Tenet there from Christopher Nolan.
Who a bit of Batman.
A bit of Bane,
which again,
yeah,
was,
and I'd say everyone again
was,
is
Tom Hardy wearing a mask on his face, and you can hear the big booming, you know, tense music in the background, which is drowning out the dialogue, which is already hard to hear.
But this is his creative choice. Is, yeah, he wants to create that kind of confusion and blur.
Yeah, he does. He says it's not an accident or an oversight. He wants it to be, you know, he wants people to kind of struggle, and it's about building tension and, you know, making people kind of have to really strain to try and follow what's going on as well. And he's very specific about how his films are mixed as well, which creates another problem for people at home.
Because he's thinking also about the cinema experience,
yes,
isn't he? And he's very much, when he's mixing there and we're listening to that, he's thinking about the IMAX cinema,
yeah, exactly,
and not
that,
our poor TVs,
yeah,
and screens
his,
at home.
His favourite one is the IMAX, which uses 6 speakers. Others will mix to 5.1 surround sound or a kind of newer standard Dolby Atmos, which some call it spatial audio. It's 10 speakers and it makes kind of a 3D sound. So it actually sounds like the audio is coming from different points in the room. But what tends to happen then is a film is made for a really good quality cinema, like an IMAX or Dolby Atmos cinema, and then it gets down mixed. So you have it going from Dolby Atmos to IMAX to 3.1 surround to stereo, which is what our TV is capable of doing generally. You're squashing all of those layers of audio down suddenly, and it makes everything flatter and fewer channels. And the end result is that when it's all squashed together, you get, you know, them less distinct from each other, and you have less room for what editors call the dynamic range of a sound as well.
So what you're describing there, it's a lot of high-end mixing and the down mixes.
Yeah.
What is then that sounds dynamic range that you end up with, well, at the end?
Essentially what that's about is that, you know, room in a film to be loud and at sometimes and quiet at others in order to give more impact to what's happening on screen. So you want the sad or the tense parts maybe to be quieter to really pull the viewer in, but you also want gunshots and explosions to really stand out so they feel, you know, you get a visceral reaction from them really. But you can only do so much of that before the sound is distorted. So the best way to make the loud part loud is to make other things quieter as a result of that, which is why people will find, you know, they're lowering down their TV for the fight scenes, but then they have to higher it up for the dialogue scenes. And then you maybe have a scene where a lot is going on. You have action, you've music, you've dialogue in between as well. And, you know, all of that might be able to coexist in that cinema with the great surround sound, but not on your stereo TV at home.
And so because then we don't have the cinema standard and for what Christopher Nolan is building for, which is the IMAX experience, and we go back to our living rooms or our devices and screens and TV screens, we don't have that professional level of sound built in.
And actually what's happened is the sound quality that we get at home is worse now than it was 10 or 20 years ago, even though our TVs are technically better.
All the advancements.
Yeah, because your TV is getting thinner and thinner. There's less room for speakers basically, and what tends to happen is you get smaller speakers, which means they're not as good quality. They tend also to be they're not at the front. If you think of the old TVs, the bezel, you know, there'd be lots of room at the front of the screen to point the speakers out. Now it's at the back, so it's probably bouncing off the wall behind your TV.
Design flaw, isn't
it? Really is, yeah. And you know, it's basically a way, because people like to have just the screen, not much room around it, and like it flat on their TV or you know, not taking up much space. But you compromise based on the sound as well as that, and it means, as I said, tiny speakers bouncing off the wall and maybe ricocheting around the room before it actually gets to your ears. So unless you've positioned your TV just right and the acoustics are really good, you're getting a poorer quality even on the down mixed version.
So with all of the mixing, and now you add in the fact that our sound at the back of the TV is bouncing off the wall first.
From a tiny speaker, probably.
From a tiny speaker into a room that has all of the acoustic problems you're going to have in a normal living room.
Yeah.
Henceforth, why we're turning on the subtitles.
This is why it's so much harder now to hear things than it was.
It's all making sense, and I imagine a relief to many listeners. People have also complained about Rami Malek's dialogue in the last Bond film, No Time to Die. Let's take a listen.
I never forgot your eyes, under the eyes. They needed me. It is a shock to see them so many years later. They still need me. I am rather taken by them. But it is not true. Is it?
I'd say we have prompted a lot of muscle memory for listeners of trying to kind of lean in and
exactly.
understand.
Yeah, exactly. You have to strain. And what we had there is, you know, we have a non-standard accent, shall we say. He's kind of mumbling because he's playing a kind of creepy character. And you have that music swelling in the background as well. And like that, that's fine in a cinema, but suddenly it's harder to hear when you're just listening on a stereo or on a radio, that, you know, all of that is squashed together and it's hard for the dialogue to stand out.
So there are things we can do despite Christopher Nolan's best efforts, but it's going to cost us.
Yeah, you know, maybe not a straightforward solution. You know, you can buy external speakers for your TV. Sound bars are very popular now, but they will cost you money. Now, you can get relatively cheap ones that will give you a noticeable improvement to the built-in speaker on your TV. But it's still going to be a far cry from that IMAX experience that, you know, Christopher Nolan wants you to hear. So you'd have to really splash out for the full surround sound effect. You're probably talking thousands of euro, which most people aren't going to be willing to spend, understandably. You might also see an improvement, though, if you use headphones, even a regular pair of headphones, because at least then you have the sound directed, pointing directly at your ears. You know, and that's especially true if you're watching on a phone or a tablet, which many people do, you know, when you have the small little speakers there kind of blasting sound at
headphones.
It's
not going to be the most sociable
experience. No, probably not. If you're watching it on your own for a TV or a phone or tablet, but if it's on TV, yeah, you don't want to be sitting there with your headphones on in the sitting room. But I suppose the good news is that, you know, we do have technological advancements making all of this sound worse in one way. It's also finding the solutions for us as well. So last year, Amazon announced it would offer a dialogue boost option on anything that was produced by their own studio. That includes MGM, which makes Bond, so it might improve what people heard there from Rami Malek. It might not, I don't know if it applies to older films, but they would.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we think with all the technological investment then that Amazon are doing and hopefully Apple, that retrospectively they can go back
well,
and find
Well, in theory, yeah, I mean, Apple has brought out a feature, basically, it's like an AI, the machine learning that automatically tweaks the volume for you through a production. And I suppose in theory, that could be done with older production as well. But as I said, it's less of an issue with older films because of the way they were shot and the way the actors were. It's only become a bigger issue as technology has allowed for that more naturalistic thing. But it does mean you essentially now have technology that allows, it's kind of like an automated audio editor, and it saves you having to kind of hover on the mic, hiring it and lowering it to match what you're seeing on screen. So Hopefully that will get better over time.
In the meantime, we're investing in soundbars, putting on headphones and hoping for Amazon and Apple advancements. And we have one text in and someone saying, what drives me absolutely mad is when I'm watching a movie or series and one of the characters gets a text or note that's central to the plot. I can't see the text, but I'm supposed to in order to follow the story. Every time I have to stop the TV, rewind and go right up to the screen to read it. Why don't the makers just use subtitles for the message?
Sometimes some will actually, you know, put it up big on screen, like the little, you know, graphic on top, and it works really well. But yeah, when you're supposed to read a screen
send that
in a split second,
it's tricky. The movie creators. Our thanks to RTÉ business journalist Adam Maguire for all of that. Back after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.